But make no mistake about it, getting right with God can only be accomplished through a personal relationship with God. Some people might think otherwise. Some people think, well, all religions lead to the same God. You hear more and more of that today, but make no mistake about it. The only way to truly get right with God is to have a personal relationship with God that is made evident in us and through us by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, maybe you've had some debates with people about that. But it's okay. You can debate lovingly and stand your ground in the truth of God's Word. Amen? Because when you stand your ground in the truth of God's Word, then the Holy Spirit comes and backs what you say in the face of whoever you're talking to. And it's the Word of God that brings the transformational change in their lives, not you or me. It's the Spirit of God in us as we speak the truth of God's Word unwaveringly, standing our ground in the truth of God's Word, and whatever other philosophy or ideology we may be faced with, we just say, no, this is God's Word says this about that. God's Word says this about that. And the Holy Spirit will come and back your words and back your play and bring those words home to that person's heart. Amen? So be encouraged afresh today that we get right with God when we submit our lives to the Word of God, to the decrees of God's Word, that we decree God's Word, that we don't just take it in a mental way or in a way that's academic, but that we read God's Word, we take it in, we ask God by His Spirit to make it part of us, to transform us, and then we decree His Word. We decree His Word. If we're going to say something, we might as well say what God's Word says. Amen?
Amen.
About our situation, about our circumstance, about the situation and circumstances of the lives of the people around us. If we're going to say something, say what God's Word says about it. Amen? God's Word says this about that. And so we need to press in to God's Word each and every day so that we can know God's Word. And then we can ask the Holy Spirit to quicken His Word to us. Wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whoever we're with, Holy Spirit, come and quicken the Word of God to me, quicken the Word of Lord to me, the Word of the Lord to me, so that I can decree it. Amen? We get right with God when we submit our lives to the Word of God in that way, and when we submit our lives to the Holy Spirit of God and to the leadings of the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ wasn't just part human and part God, as some people have described Him. How many of you here have ever heard people describe Jesus like that? Well, He was a righteous man and He was a prophet and He was part human and He was part God. How many of you here have ever heard that argument about Jesus and who He was? Well, the fact of the matter is that the Bible says and decrees and proves that He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. No one before Him and no one since Him has ever been 100% God and 100% man at the same time. That's how He was able to be 100% sinless. Amen?
Amen.
And if He wasn't 100% sinless, He wouldn't have been able to go to the cross to die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ shed His blood, perfectly sinless blood on the cross, which necessitated Him being 100% God and 100% man at the same time. At the same time. Let's say that together. At the same time. It's hard to wrap your natural mind around it. But you don't always have to wrap your natural mind around what God's Word says. You just need to believe it.
That's right.
Because God wrote it and God says it, and all we have to do is believe it. Amen?
That's right. That's right.
And then the manifestation of that will catch up in our lives.
Amen.
So that we can say, look at what the Lord has done.
Amen.
And our faith becomes sight. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. And because of that, the life that He lived on this earth was a completely flawless expression of what it looks like to be perfectly right with God. Let that sink in for a minute. Because He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time, the life that He lived on this earth was a completely flawless expression of what it looks like to be perfectly right with God. Motivates you to study the details of Jesus' life, doesn't it? Go through the Gospels and find out how Jesus handled things. How many of you here recognize that sometimes Jesus answered a question with a question? You don't always have to have the answer for somebody. Amen? Sometimes you can answer a question with a question. People ask Jesus questions, and then he would say, well, let me ask you this about that. Amen? And so there are ways that we can learn from Jesus' life, because he was the completely flawless expression of what it looks like to be perfectly right with God, because he was perfectly one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was perfectly one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was so perfectly one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that he embodied the perfect expression of the Word of God on earth as it is in heaven. It was his perfect oneness with the Father, his perfect oneness with the Spirit, that caused him to have a perfectly flawless expression, because he is God the Son. Amen?
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three in one. Triune God. Perfectly one. Co-eternal. Co-powerful. Co-existent. Ever-living. Ever-present. Perfectly faithful. Provident. Sovereign. Creator of all things. Amen?
Amen.
We get right with God by determining to pattern our lives after the life of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it, we're not God. Amen?
Amen?
As Christians, the literal definition of the word Christian means little Christ. It doesn't mean little gods, as some cultish believers have misinterpreted. We're meant to be patterns of the life of Jesus Christ progressively in our lives. And we can decree and declare things that Jesus decreed and declared. As born again, Spirit-filled, devoted followers of Jesus Christ with the Spirit of God in us, we can decree and declare what God's Word says with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, not doing that flippantly or for our own self-satisfaction. But our lives in Christ Jesus can be patterned after what Jesus Christ's life was in his flawless expression through oneness with God the Father. Are you pressing in to oneness with God the Father, submitting every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body to the Word of God, submitting every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body to the perfect will of God and the Holy Spirit leading of God, so that our lives would be a tangible, transforming expression of the life of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what Jesus did. In the human dimension of his life, he submitted every area of his life to the perfect Word of God for his life. He submitted every area of his life to the perfect will of God for his life, even unto death. He submitted his life to the leading of the Holy Spirit for his life on this earth to accomplish what the Father in heaven's perfect will was for his life, even unto death, even when it hurt. For the joy that was set before him, he endured even suffering, even the most hideous, painful death for our sake, for my sake, for your sake, for each and every person's sake that would be so willing as to say, I repent and submit my life to Christ. Amen? God, by his Word and by his Spirit, is motivating each of us afresh today along these lines, I believe, from John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in the New Living Translation, picking up in verse 1, reads like this. In the beginning, the Word already existed, talking about Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything. To everything that was created, the Word gave life. And his life brought light to everyone. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
How many of you have ever had a bright light shine in your eyes? Anybody here ever had a bright light shine in your eyes? And then sometimes you shone that bright light and it's so bright. And as John describes a little bit later, some people shunned the light that came into the world. In verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Get the picture. The one who is the true light, the one who is the true light who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created. Isn't that amazing? But the world didn't recognize him for who he was. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. And catch this now, but to all who believed him, to all who believe in him, to all who believe in him and accept him, he gives the right to become a born-again child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Born again, not with a spiritual, not with a physical birth. Born again, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. A spiritual rebirth. Verse 14, so the Word of God became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Catch that. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory through his life, the glory of the Father's one and only Son, and the glory of God the Father is meant to be shown forth through our lives in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. Amen.
Amen.
Be reminded afresh today that Jesus Christ came into this world, catch this now, so that we could have the opportunity for his word to be made flesh in us. That through him, the word of God would be made evidence in the life that he has given us to live. That through him, the word of God would be the reality that we would experience in this life. Amen.
Amen.
That the life and the light and the grace and the truth and the unfailing love and faithfulness of the Word of God would be made progressively more evident in us and through us, just like it was through him. Amen?
Amen.
That's the bottom line goal for our existence on earth as believers, that the glory of the Father and the manifest truth of God's Word would be made evident in us and through us. Amen?
Amen.
By way of genuine, thorough repentance, by way of genuine, thorough repentance, and a life that is thoroughly submitted to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Are you thoroughly submitted to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in every area of your life? Or is there a compartmentalization approach to your walk with the Lord? Make no mistake about it, the life that we now live is meant to be the life of Christ living through us. In Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. In Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we are temples of God's Spirit. Amen. We are one spirit with the Lord. Amen. We are an expression of the life of Christ because he is our life. Amen. Our lives are not our own. He is our life. Amen. In Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we share in the life of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have been made alive together with Christ by the Holy Spirit in us, and we are complete in Christ. Amen. I am complete in Christ. Let's decree that together. I am complete in Christ. Say it again. I am complete in Christ. One more time. I am complete in Christ, spirit, soul, and body. Amen?
Amen?
Decree it in your life each and every day, because what you decree, one way or the other, is going to end up being the manifest reality of your life. Make no mistake about it. In Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we are partakers of God's divine nature in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we are a light to the world. We are appointed to Christ and to bear his fruit. We are heirs to God, because in Christ, we are sons and daughters of God. Amen?
Amen.
Think about that. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Creator God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Amen.
And you're an heir to that.
Amen.
He owns all the gold and silver in the world. And you're an heir to that.
Amen.
And all the spiritual blessings of heaven are yours. Because you're a son. And you're a daughter of the living Creator God. Amen. You're an heir to all that he has. Amen. But yet we still struggle with sinful tendencies. How many of you here can lift an honest hand with me and say, I struggle with a particular sinful tendency? Can anybody lift an honest hand with me? So yeah, there's a tendency or two that I still struggle with. It's called sin. Maybe your struggle is a little bit different than mine. Maybe the sinful tendency that's yours may be something different from mine, depending on your past, depending on how you've been conditioned in your life over the years. But make no mistake about it, even as believers, we still struggle with sinful tendencies. Getting right with God requires that we understand our struggle with sin, even as believers. We can't ignore it. We have to understand it. And we have to be able to engage it in an overcoming way. Amen? Because the victory has already been won in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen? Our struggle with sin as believers is no different than what the Apostle Paul described in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, God by His Word and by His Spirit is looking to strengthen us in our struggles with sinful tendencies that we are seeing in ourselves. The sinful tendencies that are still in us, even as believers. The Apostle Paul lamented about this in Romans chapter 7. As sometimes we do, we can make this a prayer for ourselves as we cry out to God. Picking up in verse 15 of Romans 7, I've made it a habit, I've made a discipline of incorporating this as my own prayer in my own prayer times, and maybe you would be encouraged to do the same. We can take the Word of God. We can personalize it in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And we can make the Word of God part of our prayers. Amen? Yeah. If you're wondering what to pray about or how to pray, just look into the Scriptures. Amen? Picking up in verse 15 of Romans 7, Paul, reasoning then, and God by His Spirit reasoning us with us today, I don't really understand myself. I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. How many of you have ever felt like that? Man, I want to do right. I want to do the right thing, but in this area of my life, I keep seeming to trip up. Instead, I do what I shouldn't do. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong and something that I shouldn't do, if I know that, then this shows that I agree with the law of God and that the law of God is good. Amen? Amen? So it seems that I'm not the one doing it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. Now, that's not a blame shift. No, it's not me doing it. It's a sinful nature in me doing it. Yeah, but you're participating with that sinful tendency, so ultimately you're going to pay the consequence for it. But Paul was just reasoning, as we can come and reason with God about our sinful tendencies. In verse 18, he says, and I know that nothing good lives in me in and of myself, in and of my sinful nature. In and of my sinful nature, I can't seem to do what is right. I can't seem to break through this struggle with sin. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what's right, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I seem to do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It's sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong at times. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. How many of you here have ever felt that way? This power makes me a slave to sin at times that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I feel like at times. Who will free me from this life that is overcome by sin? Verse 25, thanks be to God that the answer is in Christ Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the victory that He has already accomplished over all the powers of sin. Amen? Chapter 8, verse 1, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Amen?
Amen?
Getting right with God requires that we are being honest with ourselves to come thoroughly clean with God. Just like King David did in Psalm 51. You can make this a prayer for yourself. When you take God's word and make it a prayer for yourself, There's no better prayer that you could pray in line with God's Spirit. And King David, after he had been discovered to have sinned with Bathsheba and gone on to kill her husband and make it look like he was killed in battle to cover up his sin, the prophet Nathan came and had a word of knowledge for him and surfaced the sin that he was trying to cover up. And Psalm 51 is David's prayer for repentance for that. And we can pray this ourselves for our own lives. Have mercy upon me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sins. For I recognize my rebellion. It taunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the heart. There it is. God knows you were born a sinner. It's nothing new to him. But he's just desiring honesty from your heart about it. Amen? Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again.
Thank you.
Give me back my expressed joy for your perfect will for my life as a testament to the people around me so that they too could be drawn into your presence and drawn to do what your perfect will is for their lives. Amen?
Amen.
Give me back my expressed joy. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. How many of you recognize that when you sin, essentially you're being disloyal to your relationship with God? You're being disloyal to what God's Word says about your life. You're breaking your loyalty in your relationship with God every time you sin. Do not banish me from your presence, Lord God Almighty. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit anointing from me. How many of you here know that unrepentant sin in your life will dampen the anointing of God upon your life? Unrepentant sin in your life, no matter how gifted or called or anointed God has called you to be, unrepentant sin in your life will squelch that anointing. Will dampen that anointing. Because God's most interested in the honesty of your heart to come repentant before Him, to come clean. And when you're in that place, then the fullness of His grace will be poured out and flow through your life. Amen?
Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to those who are rebellious, and then they will return to you. Forgive me for the collateral consequences of my sin, so that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a material sacrifice in and of itself, or I would give one in exchange. But the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, Lord God Almighty, you will not despise. Aren't you glad for that? Look with favor upon me again and rebuild the broken down walls of my life. And then you will be pleased with my material offerings to you that are offered in the right spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I love King David. He was the man after God's own heart. It doesn't mean that he was perfect. It means that he was honest before the throne of God. And he was repentant, genuinely. And that pleases God's heart. Getting right with God requires that we recommit ourselves to the ways of God and that we recommit ourselves to the direction of God, just like King David did in Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, we see King David, after having been forgiven of the sins with Bathsheba and doing everything that he could to make that right, Psalm 25 is his recommitment to the ways of God and the direction of God. Oh Lord, I give my life to you. Picking up in verse 1. Oh, Lord, I give my life to you. I trust in you, my God. Do not let me be disgraced or let the enemy rejoice in my downfall. No one who trusts in you will ever be disgraced. No one who trusts in God will ever be disgraced. But disgrace comes to those who are deceptive. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. And all day long I put my hope in you. Are you putting your hope in the Lord all day long? And if not, what are you putting your hope in? Verse 6, remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love. Do not hold my rebellion against me. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are merciful, Lord. For the Lord is good, and he always does what is right, and he shows the proper path to those who go astray. Anybody here with me ever gone astray since you've come to know the Lord? Well, let not your hearts be troubled. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He can redirect you. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness all who honor their relationship with him. Are you honoring your relationship with him? In every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body, mindset, emotions, appetites, attitudes, drives, and desires. Because when you're purposing to honor your relationship with the Lord, then he leads you with his unfailing love and faithfulness as we set our minds to obey his commands and directives. Amen? Verse 11, for the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. And for those who reverently submit their lives to the Lord, he will show them the right path that they should choose. It just doesn't come any old way. It comes through repentant obedience and a thorough commitment to honor the Lord in every area of our lives. As imperfectly as we do that, we're not going to use our imperfectness as an excuse not to pursue it. Amen? Amen. Verse 13. Those who reverently submit their lives to the Lord will live in prosperity along with their children. There's a generational blessing there. The Lord is a friend to those who reverently submit their lives to him. And so I keep my eyes always on the Lord. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Are you keeping your eyes always on the Lord? For when you are, he rescues you from every trap of the enemy. Amen? May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you. It's all about focus. It's all about focus. Getting right with God is all about focus. Focusing on the Lord, focusing on his word, focusing on who he is, focusing on his manifest presence in you and through you, focusing on your oneness with him. That's what getting right with God is all about. Amen? Amen. And overcoming all the works of the enemy in the meantime. And finally, getting right with God requires that we rejoice and give thanks to God for his faithfulness to redeem us. Rejoice and give thanks to God for his manifest faithfulness to redeem us, just like King David again did in Psalm 32. Psalm 51, Psalm 25, and Psalm 32 are all threaded together in the same sequence of events as it happened in King David's life. And we can apply the spirit of these prayers to our own lives. Picking up in verse 1 of Psalm 32, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Amen? Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has declared clear of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty before the Lord. For when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night your hand of discipline was heavy upon me, O Lord. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. But finally, I confessed all of my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. God's punishing hand will come upon even the life of a believer that's unrepentant, to bring them unto the fruit of righteousness. Amen?
Amen?
God will teach us and correct us, teach us and correct us, teach us and correct us. But if we're not getting it over a certain period of time, teach and correct, teach and correct. I love God's patient long-suffering. How about you? Teach and correct, teach and correct. But then if we're not getting it, he's going to punish us. He's going to chastise us. He's going to scourge us, even as believers, because He loves us. Amen? So that we would come into the fruit of righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, let all the godly pray to you, Lord God Almighty, while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. How many of you here had a pathway for your life planned out in one way or another before you came to Christ? Anybody here other than me? I had my life planned out. And then when I came to Christ, He started to show me His path for my life. Amen? And the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. His pathway for your life is the best pathway for your life. And He's not trying to keep it from you. He will advise you. He will watch over you. So do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Any horses or mules in the house today? I've acted like a mule at times. How about you? Anybody act like a mule in your relationship with the Lord? Why wait for God to jerk the slack out of you to get you on the right path? Spare yourself that suffering. Amen? Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. For many sorrows come to those who are unrepentant. But unfailing love surrounds those who repentantly put their trust in the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts have been made pure. Amen?
Amen.